Well, good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, some of you can start right now finding out where Nehemiah is. We're going to be in Nehemiah 1. And I'm going to introduce things while you look it up, and then we'll get into the Word. Do any of you get phone calls, like when you're having supper, from people that you don't know, asking you for things, wondering if you want a better rate on your credit card, or wondering if you could donate to something? Are we the only ones? I've been thinking about how I could give some of your numbers to them. I'll tell you a little story. I had a friend, and he was a practical joker, and he would get the best of me lots. And so one day I had this brilliant idea, and I went to a trade show in our town. And I spent 3 hours at the trade show. And I filled out every one of those things I could find with his name and phone number. And I checked, we'd like a home visit, we'd like a follow-up. I put his email address down. And for months, he was harassed with people looking for things. It was pretty interesting. No, it's not a threat at all. And if any of you do that to me, I will find out who you are and get you, Chris. Yeah. I'm very interested in how many needs we see around us. Right now, we're getting pretty excited about the Watoto Ugandan Children's Choir. They're coming May the 13th. And we're working with our community and with some of the other churches. And I was sitting with Lindsay this week talking about, you know, when's the right time to start advertising, and tickets are coming out soon, and we want you to be involved. And she said, you know, this is the time of year when we get all of these needs, like the heart and stroke, the Relay for Life, the this, the that, and all these different groups are raising money. And I thought, you know, isn't that right? I turn my TV on, and there's different reports on different problems in different parts of our world and needs that exist. And there's mail arriving at our home asking us to contribute to this cause and to that cause, and making us aware of needs overseas and in our own country and in our own community. I know that I've had many discussions with some of our civic leaders about the lack of low-income housing and the harsh reality that many people can't afford a place to live in our town, and we need workers, and how are we going to deal with all of that? And the drug problems that exist, or the counseling that people need, or now there's a renewed rash of gambling issues where, you know, the casino's close and there's people with addiction that they're losing everything. And how are we going to help them? And I go online and I get these emails on my internet, you know, to the church, and these blanket emails asking for help with different things. And there's a need at this hospital, or there's a need in this country, or these missionaries have a specific need they'd like help meeting. And then we get all of the church groups that want to come and make presentations here and ask you to participate in the need. And then there's radio programs. And you know, all of these things are good things and legitimate needs, most of them. How do we know what the God things are for us? And is there a pattern in Scripture, a way that we can take needs, take them to God, ask what He wants to do, and participate with Him? And I think the answer is yes. And I want to go to Nehemiah. Now, if you don't know kind of your biblical history very well, Nehemiah is this really interesting book. And that there's been an exile. The Babylonians took over, and everybody was kicked out of Jerusalem except a few that remained. And after 70 years, some of the exiles were allowed to come back, and the foundation for the temple was laid. But we've got Nehemiah, who probably never lived in Jerusalem, and who hears the stories about God's promises and knows where it is, and that that city represents so much. And in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, it says this. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men. And I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeem by your great strength and by your mighty hand, O Lord. Let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant, and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer for the king. While Nehemiah had a pretty good job being cupbearer for the king, he had settled in the exiled land and had made a life for himself, and he heard distressing news. And I want you to see first that he was burdened by a need. His brother comes along and he questions them. He's interested. He wants to know what's going on, and he sits down and listens. And I find this to be interesting because many of us have really crummy listening skills, don't we? I mean, many of us don't really give our attention to things that are going to bother our hearts. How many of you, like me, would rather flip around on the channels when the World Vision commercial comes on than watch it? Yeah. How many of you, like me, don't go out of your way to give your full attention and interest to something that could possibly bother you for quite some time? You know, we get Reader's Digest sometimes, or I guess it was at my mom and dad's, and I was reading through it, and there's an article in there about, I don't know how old it was just there, and an article about women that were being sold into slavery, basically, in another country, and I just skipped right by it to campus comedy and read the jokes, because I just can't handle that. I got a daughter, and it just bothers me. And I got to thinking about this with Nehemiah. He sat down, he gave them their full attention. He said, tell me what's happening. Tell me what's going on. And he listened. And he allowed the response to burden him. Look at what it says here. It says, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. You know, he didn't really know these people personally, maybe a few of them. He knew that God's presence was supposed to be in the temple and that Jerusalem was the city that reflected how God cared for his people. And he knew that there was an excitement when the exiled people went back, and he knew that there was an excitement to get started again. But he's burdened and he doesn't know them personally. And he goes to weeping and fasting and praying. And he asks this question, and this is quite interesting. What will God do? Before he asks the question, what can I do? And he recounts God's stated will for his children, and he asks God to allow him to, in, to participate in what God wants to do. So he doesn't say, man, this would be a great solution, or let me put my creative brain to this. He recounts what God promised his people and what God's intended for his people was, and then he says, how can I be a part of it? And he's burdened by a need. You know, how many of you have gone online and checked out the Watoto Ugandan Children's Choir? When you go there online and you read it, it tells you that 880,000 children 15 and under are orphaned because of AIDS and civil war. That right now this organization is building villages, schools, and hospitals where they put a parent in a home and 9 kids who wouldn't have a parent, and they're educating them and they're looking after their health. And when they come and they travel and they sing, these kids are happy and smiling, and they've got pictures and stories on the website. But because of the love of God, and because God cares about widows and orphans and children and the downtrodden, this group has gone in there and just started, and it's grown and grown and grown, and they're continuing to build villages. And now their newest effort is to save these kids that are coming out of the bush that have been captured by the guerrillas in the Civil War, and they've come in and they've taken these kids out of the camps and they've turned them into killers. And this is just sad like crazy. And I think 880,000 kids, and here's a group looking after 15,000 orphans. We have no idea what that looks like. But burdened by a need. You think about your kids and you look at that and you go, well, God, I know from your word that you care. And if you don't know that, let me tell you, you have an opportunity to get into some small group studies here and go through what God's heart for this deal is. And you're going to find out that God cares immensely. And that his heart should be your heart. Well, the second thing I notice about Nehemiah is he's burdened beyond his means. This problem was way beyond him imagining a solution. The city is a long ways off. He's the cupbearer for the king and personally doesn't have the resources to do much about it. And the bottom line is, what can one guy do when the walls are broken down, the gates are burned, and we have this huge issue? What can you do? Right? You ever feel like that? What in the world could I do about child slavery or about orphan children in Africa or the problem of AIDS or drug use in our town or gambling addiction? I don't know anything about that, or divorce or suicide, or these problems are so big. I mean, what in the world could I do about that? And he's burdened beyond his means, okay? This is really important for you to see. He weeps, he fasts, he prays, and he goes to God and he says, okay, what is your heart in this deal, God? Here's what you promised. If you return, you'll gather them. You want this to happen. This is where you chose for your glory to be revealed. But he didn't have the resources, the connections. And when it seemed impossible, notice he didn't abandon his burden, but he took these big, huge things to God. I gotta confess, I'm probably guilty of abandoning the burden sometimes. Of saying my life is busy. I have enough to deal with. I'm running to this, I'm running to that, I'm going here, I'm going there, you know, I need to relax a little bit, and I will remember it in my prayers, but I'm not going to listen, investigate, wait on God, and say, God, is this something that you want to burden my heart with? Because it's just beyond my means. But here we have Nehemiah taking big things to God, and as he spends time with God, seeking the desire of God, the clarity on what God would use him to do arrived. And I want you to see that there's no fast fix for a burden beyond our means. We need to spend time. Now, we know from when chapter 1 starts and chapter 2 starts that there's 4 months of a gap. Okay, this isn't a mixed solution. For 4 months, he fasts, he prays, He recounts the will of God. All of this stuff is happening over time. And that means that there's attention and time and burden and growth in understanding. And he gives of his time when he's burdened beyond his means. Well, thirdly, I want you to see him bringing his big burdens to God, to a big God. 4 months of prayer, fasting, seeking come down to him asking God to empower his action. There was time spent to clarify what is God's will in this? What is the heart of God in this? There was time to covenant. And I love this part where he says this, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and I will bring them to the place I have chosen for a dwelling for my name. He went back to the promise of God, of a big God, able to gather them from wherever, able to deliver them. Now, this is really, really important, okay? We need to start with confession and humility. Says, you know, I want to confess the failures of my father and my generation. We've acted very wickedly toward you. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. Let's start with putting things right. Now, I don't know what that looks like in your life, right? For me, it's like, hey, you know what, Lord? I've become interested in my own problems for a while. And I really haven't been letting you burden me for the things that you're concerned about. Or Lord, I've been pursuing my retirement fund or my new vehicle or my leisure. I've been so wrapped up in politics in the church or in this or in that or in the other thing that I confess I haven't been listening very much. I haven't been looking at my world and asking where it is my heart should break like yours is breaking. And to even look at corporately as a group saying, you know, Lord, we've been kind of interested in our own stuff. We've been spending a lot of our energy and our money and our just serving each other and ourselves. And the world, man, your heart's breaking for that. Forgive us. And he takes time to covenant. That means he takes time to confess and then to claim the promise of God. Now, as believers, what is the promise of God for us? What does he say to his disciples? Greater things than these will you do, right? All authority on heaven and earth is given to me, and I give it to you. Go into all the world. He tells them that the very spirit that is God himself will live in you and empower you, will guide you, will direct you. He's promised you peace. He's promised when you seek him, he'll be found by you. He's promised personal relationship. If you fast and pray and seek God and say, I know this burdens your heart. What is it you want to do? He will direct you and do great things. And so there's a time to covenant, a confession of sin, a recounting of what it is the will of God or the covenant of God is, and a commitment to God to being used. And in chapter 2, there's a time to commence. We find him asking God to give him success. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants, who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. And he takes time to commence. Now, I want you to see that there's a clarity of call and of purpose and a definition of role when you spend enough time with God. And I want you to see that this 4 months was intense, emotional, and it upset life's apple cart. It interrupted what was going on. And when you bring burdens to a big God, expect a big response. So let's ask the big question. So what? Good story, Nehemiah. If you've never read it, go read it. It's really cool. What happens next is really fun. And you'd think once God like totally empowers this deal and the king says yes and gives him passage and materials, when he gets there to get going, the people don't accept him right away and he runs into Sanballat and Tobias, and it's a great story. You should check it out. But you have to ask this question, can you be burdened? Is it possible that the things that break God's heart in our community and our world could bring you to tears and cause upheaval in your life? Are you open to that? Are you attentive to that? As you read the Bible and you look at our world and you spend time with God, are the things that break his heart break your heart? Because, you know, it says that when we become followers of Jesus and Christ ones, that he gives us this new life, this new heart, right? That's like his, and we grow up into him who is the head, that we mature in Christ. And that means the things that bother God bother us. Are you able to be burdened? Are you willing to allow your whole life to be redirected or rearranged? You see, there are needs in our world. We have a chance to do something about orphan children from Uganda by studying what God's Word says, praying, fasting perhaps, asking God what He could do, maybe doing something in our community, and when they come, making people aware and raising as much money as we can so that more children would have a home to stay in. And maybe some of you say, you know what, this matters so much to me, there's work teams going over, I'd like to go and build some of those places. I'd like to go there. That matters to me. You see, when you see a need, you have to begin by asking God, what's your heart in this issue? And when you discover God's heart in the issue, you say, well, what's my role? How do I participate? And then there's a time for you to say, God, forgive me for my inaction and empower me to be used of you. Can you see beyond your means? This is a tough one. Because, you know, it'd be fun. We have these discussions, right? We're sitting around as pastors and we say, you know, well, how many people will show up at this thing? You know, what kind of a venue do we want? And then the question's invariably asked, how much money can we raise? Or, you know, and people are looking at it and saying, well, you know, there's all these formulas we could use. And we do have some disposable income and people in our community are quite generous. But maybe God will do something huge through this, right? How are we going to care for that many kids? Or how are we going to, you see, we probably don't have the means, but we know it's God when He provides. And it's the faith step that says, this is of you, this is in line with your will. I know this is what you're asking of me, and now it's time to step out in faith, and you will provide everything that's necessary. Every good and perfect gift, everything we need. Are you prepared to ask what God wants? Do you jump in right now and do what you think you can do? Or are you prepared to pray and wait on God and take a faith step? And when we take a need to God, there's some things we need to do. We need to clarify what is God's heart here. We need to understand from Scripture what God says. We need to ask the question, what does He want me to participate in? And then we need to say this, is my burden confirmed by others? And in Nehemiah's case, it was. We need to covenant with the confession of sin, the renewal of claiming God's promises and building a foundation of praying people. And then we need to commence and take a step of faith. It's where the real journey begins. You see, there's needs all around us, folks, and all of them are somewhat legitimate. And I believe that God calls every group of Christ followers, Christians, to be involved in their world and involved in the needs that are around them. It's what Jesus did, right? I believe that the love of God compels us, that the things that burden God's heart should burden our hearts. And so the challenge for you today is to say this, here's one need that we know of in front of us right now. and they're coming on May the 13th. Will I give my time and attention to go on the website to check it out, to begin to pray? Will I start to engage in a Bible study? Will I join some other Christians and find out God's heart for the poor, God's heart for the needy, God's heart for the orphaned and the downtrodden? Will I give up a couple of evenings of my time? Will I give up some of my resources? And will I participate with other Christians and ask God to use my giftedness? And then will I take a step of faith and see what God might do through my humble effort? That on that day we might say, glory be to God, look what He has done through our obedience and our effort. You see, I think we can do something quite amazing. And I don't think it stops there. I think when we begin to get this mindset, the needs in our community and of your neighbors and of people that don't know Jesus that burden God's heart are going to start to burden your heart. And I believe that He's going to use us in ways we can't even imagine to transform the world and to evidence God's heart to others. You see, it just isn't all about us, and it's not all about here, and it's not all about now. And the idea that is that I come here just to take more spiritual food in and go away satisfied is wrong. He's called us to serve. He saved us to something. And He says, now grow up, and I have a role for you. And it's time for us to seriously say, when we see a need, how should we be responding? We should be responding by prayer, fasting, seeking, knowing the heart of God, reading His Word, finding out what God says, what He promises, and then asking God how we can be involved and taking the step of faith. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You for Your truth and Your Word. And the accounts there of how You moved in the lives of people. I thank You for the promise from Your Word that says when we seek You, You will be found by us. And I thank You that over and over and over, Your Word just reveals to us who You are and Your heart of love and what a Christ follower should look like. And we confess, Father, that we often fall far, far short of that. Forgive us for the needs we've ignored, the ways we could have been used by You, but weren't paying attention, weren't willing to be burdened, and just moved right past. And renew in us a sensitivity and an awareness to the work of the Spirit. Begin to show us, Father, those things around us that burden Your heart, and begin to call us as we seek You to action, and to being involved and to participating with You. And would we witness You, God, using our humble effort to do miraculous things in our community and our world. I thank You for the truth of Your Word. Take away everything that's just been my humble ramblings. But that which is true and of the Spirit, bear it to hearts. And would commitments be made this day to respond as You would have us respond to Your Word. We ask it carefully in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.